Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A great show lined up for you. In the 12 o'clock hour, we'll visit with retired Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis, senior fellow and military expert with Defense Priorities. We'll talk about the latest in Ukraine. We'll talk about the Nord Stream attack. We'll talk about a number of issues in and around Vladimir Putin, his desperation level, and what the downstream implications could be from same. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Michael Heck, president and CEO of G&O Inc. We'll get the latest economic news from this region and throughout the state of Louisiana, as well as C. Scott Kennedy, who is the owner of Tombola Strategy. They did a position white paper on risk rating 2.0, which is the flood insurance, new policies, the impacts on premium affordability. We'll talk about where we are and where they intend to go as they continue to try to fight back on FEMA to change the rules or at least disclose the risk rating that they're utilizing and the matrix that they're utilizing, because everybody is in the dark. But what they're not in the dark about is the level of premiums that they're being faced to pay with new construction. Right now, Quinn Hillier joins us, senior commentary writer and editor for the Washington Examiner. He's a former New Orleans Times-Picayune correspondent, as well as the former managing editor of Gambit. Is from New Orleans, writes for the Washington Examiner, excuse me, from the Gulf Coast area. He did a opinion piece the other day on NOLA.com entitled, "Keep the Faith, NOLA Has Begun to Fight Back Against Crime." Quinn, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks for having me on.
Quinn, I think you and I have probably crossed paths at some point in time in the past. I was doing my research on you. You look very familiar to me. I know we had to have met at some point.
Well, I don't know that we've met, but I do think I think we've talked on the phone before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very briefly. But and I've certainly listened to you many, many, many times.
Well, thank you, sir. That's very kind of you. So, Quinn, you have been in other places. You spent some time in Arkansas, obviously, up in D.C., as well as other places as a writer. And you write this article, I think, based on what you feel and what you know as a former resident of New Orleans. How would you characterize and put in context as to where you think we find ourselves today right now?
Well, first of all, as a former resident, but as one who is still there frequently and actually has a little place there. So I'm not just doing it by remote. I'm seeing it firsthand, and I have never seen it, even during the Bartholomew years. I've never seen the crime situation so bad. At least, especially the violent crime situation so bad as it is right now. And it's obviously it's what everybody seems to be talking about. But my point is that the citizenry is already starting to fight back. This NOLA coalition is really doing good stuff. Of course, longstanding crime commission has always done good work. And so people need to not give up. People need to fight back because there are things being done and there's more that can be done.
Quinn, I've oftentimes said that if you're going to affect long-time systemic changes in a community, it comes from its citizens, the business community and otherwise, not political leadership, because a lot of folks just don't have the wherewithal to consume political capital to do what's very obvious and what's overt. And I was touched by your article because in a very succinct way, you pointed out the things that are staring us right in the face, and in many cases, our elected leadership seems to be walking right around it.
Well, certainly some of our elected leadership, and like when you have a mayor that for the first couple of, certainly the first several years, didn't seem to take crime seriously, when you have a DA who is running on emptying the prisons, when you have at least four local judges who are not very tough on crime, that causes problems. And then you had a city council that passed a really dumb ordinance several years ago to prohibit the police from using a bunch of modern technology. All of that adds up, and now we see the results. We have a terrible situation, but the good news is they repealed that anti-technology law. So now the police are being able to start using some of this technology, facial recognition, other things like that. They have this NOLA coalition, which is very broad-based, 400 organizations. And they have a mayor who now says she's focused on crime. And even the DA says he's going to start prosecuting more. So this is what happens when the citizenry gets involved, a coalition forms, and people start putting pressure on elected leaders. They have to listen.
No doubt. You put a quote in here from Jacques Morial, a public policy strategist. I communicate with Jacques periodically, but I was really touched by what he said. And I think he really struck a chord, and I'm going to go ahead and read it for the benefit of the listening audience. He says, there's a special kind of fellowship among New Orleanians. We all understand that fellowship across different social and economic lines. It's unique. But the fear of crime is tearing at those bonds. We're looking at each other with suspicion and fear. And all of that is corroding that fellowship that's so essential for our city and our survival. And I think that speaks to so many things that are just really unique about historically the way that we've interacted here in the city of New Orleans.
Well, exactly. And as bad as Louisiana politics have been over the decades, the really interesting thing to me is that there is a tradition of crossing partisan lines and working with the other side, as it were, and even having friendships with the other side. You certainly don't see that in Washington anymore. But perfect example. I mean, I don't agree with Jacques Morial on much, but I've always gotten along great with him. I've gotten along great with his brother. I'm a conservative. He's very liberal. But we not only like each other, but we agree on a bunch of these things for fighting crime. And a lot of New Orleanians are used to saying, okay, we know that, you know, we got things different views about politics, but we're New Orleanians. We like each other. We have fun together. And so you can use that to build on, to work together. And that's what's happening again. I keep mentioning this NOLA coalition, but it's as broad-based a citizen coalition as I've ever seen. And so, again, that's why I think there really is hope.
Why do you think it took so long for folks to realize that crime, especially violent crime, was a significant disruptive force to our lifestyles here? And I don't mean just generally in the typical way that we think of lifestyles, but the way that we spend time together. I mean, we have a fair or festival for almost every living creature that ever walked the shores or the grounds of the state of Louisiana. We enjoy spending time together, you know, and that crosses all socioeconomic categories as well as race and ethnicity. It seemed that we kind of, and I don't know if it was COVID or what, but I'm curious what you think.
Well, I mean, I've heard New Orleanians complain about crime for decades, and they had really good reason in the late 80s, early 90s to complain. We were 1, 2, or 3 for years in a row, first, second, or third, in terms of murder rate per capita for about 6 or 7 years. And then we brought in a good police chief, and the situation got a little better by the end of the 90s, early 2000s. Then, again, it spiked up a little bit in, you know, about 2008 to 2012, 13. We had cut the police force drastically for various reasons, budgetary reasons, and crime shot up again. And then Mitch Landrieu, in his second terms, really started focusing. The numbers went down again, and people started to relax. And then suddenly you have a whole bunch of not very tough on crime politicians get elected, and the police force gets decimated, and it starts going up again, and people start talking about it. But it's the fear and the subtext has always been there. It's just that this sort of cyclical wave of crime has really gotten to a crest now, and so people are just freaked out.
Yeah,
hope that's not too wordy, but it's sort of a long-term history approach.
Well, one of the reasons I asked the question is on this show we've been talking about it for a long time. I've been on air 5 years, and pretty much have been talking about it since I came on air, because I've seen the underlying ingredients that it were kind of bubbling up that were going to lead to some really difficult times in fighting crime. A 2-year hiatus on hiring under the Landrieu administration for the NOPD, I knew that was going to be devastating, as any other law enforcement leader would recognize. But what I was really struck me is that the first 4 years of the Cantrell administration, there was not really the stream of accountability on this issue of fighting crime. And we all saw it happening. We all felt it. We knew it. And the intuitive nature of neighborhoods, they recognize it sooner than most. But they just didn't seem to be a you and cry in the streets about it. And it seemed to be a delayed reaction. And that's why I asked the question.
Well, everything you say is absolutely right. But the real tragedy is that in the second term of Mitch Landrieu, the rate had started going down again. He had budgetary problems the first time, and he slashed the police, and maybe he shouldn't have done that, and crime went up. But he made some real progress in the second term. And then Cantrell got elected and had this transition team and all these transition committees, and she had a very good one that produced a host of recommendations on crime, and she ignored all of them. All of them. I mean, yeah. There was a plan in place. The day she took office, there was a plan in place, and she ignored it. And we see the terrible results, and we've got to turn around, focus on it, hire more police, and do all of these other things that I've been talking about and that the NOLA Coalition has talked about.
Absolutely. It's all about prioritization and execution, right?
Absolutely. And when you don't make crime a priority, it comes up and bites you. When you do make it a priority, when you execute, again, the second term of Marc Morial, the second term of Mitch Landrieu, they focused and crime went down. So it is doable. It certainly was done in New York under Rudy Giuliani. Crime can be defeated, or it can be greatly reduced, and it's time New Orleans gets cracking.
Fighting crime is like playing the whack-a-mole game. If you remember that at Pontchartrain Beach, you just got to keep beating it away, but you can't put the hammer down and you can't step away from it. Otherwise, it will bite you for sure. Quinn Hillier, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate your time and your insight, and best of luck to you.
Thanks for having me on, Newell, and keep up the great work on the radio.
Thank you, sir. You're very kind. Quinn Hillier, senior commentary writer and editor for the Washington Examiner. We have breaking news. We're going to go to Dave Cohen, WWL news director. Dave?
Newell, we've had what sounds like a shooting on the I-10 between Crowder and Reed. This is the I-10 West in New Orleans East. Initial reports indicate that a local constable is amongst those people who has been shot. NOPD has closed down the interstate from New Orleans East to downtown New Orleans in an effort to get the ambulance to University Medical Center. We're hearing at least three people have been shot, including a constable. And they are rushing that victim, we understand, to UMC. At least one other victim is at the New Orleans East Hospital, and we're awaiting further details. But again, a shooting on I-10 between Reed and Crowder. Cops closing down the interstate from New Orleans East to downtown New Orleans to get one of the victims, who initial reports indicate may be a constable, to the hospital. We'll have more information, Newell, as it becomes available.
Ed Cohen, WWL News Director. And folks, please, if you see this escort, pull on the side. I've been down this path before. Every minute counts. If this constable is fighting for his life, get on the side of the road and let him through and don't complain. This is could be potentially a life or death situation. We don't know, but just show some consideration. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Folks, welcome back. I really hope whoever it is from the constable's office, our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family, and hopefully everything is okay. Please, if you see an escort, if officers are blocking exit and so forth, please just heed their signals. I know everybody's in a hurry. I know everybody feels like they're going to be inconvenienced. But if this was your life, you would want the same consideration. I've been down this path before with my officers. In fact, I spoke very angrily in one particular case because I was listening on the radio to people calling in and complaining that traffic was blocked. We need to show deference to our first responder community, those in the law enforcement community that are out there risking their lives. We don't know exactly what went down, but please just show some consideration. You know, it's just ironic that I'm talking to Quinn Hillier, who wrote an opinion piece on NOLA.com about crime, violent crime, about prioritizations, and then we have breaking news of yet another shooting in New Orleans East on the I-10 corridor. This has become such a concern for the citizens in the metropolitan area. I am consistently hearing people saying they're crossing the causeway and cutting across on I-12, that they just feel like the little bit of inconvenience, the additional time, the additional mileage is worth it. They don't want to have to go through the angst and anxiety of driving through the East. Perception some is reality in life many times. So it's going to be interesting to see, if this continues on, and we got to continue to fight back on this issue. Quinn Hillier's right, and I've said this before, the NOLA Coalition is an important initiative for us at this point in time. And one of the final comments that he made in the piece that we had to break away for news, but, is that he said that it's too soon to quit. Don't give up. And he's right. This is the place that we call home. When you think back in the aftermath of Katrina, how hard we fought to come back against all odds. Many people around the country were against us. They were just ready to cut this part of the state off, and then all of a sudden Hurricane Sandy hits the East Coast and everyone recognized they spoke too soon. They realized that some of the same criticisms that they were heaping on us, that they were guilty of the very same conduct. That their building codes and the manner in which they approach flood protection, tidal surge, and otherwise was no different than the way we did. Actually, we were far more advanced than they were. They may not admit it, but that was in fact the case. So everybody now throughout the country, in many different places, have experienced the challenges of floodwaters. But it was that very fight that we had, that we did collectively and collaboratively together. It wasn't always pretty. It wasn't always rosy. And so let's go back to Dave Cohen, WWL News Director. He's got an update. Dave?
Newell, we're slowly learning more about what happened a little while ago in New Orleans East, just off of the I-10 between Reed and Crowder. It appears that a constable for the city of New Orleans was serving an eviction notice when there was an altercation. There's a crime scene on the interstate, and the constable has now been rushed to University Medical Center with at least one gunshot wound. A second individual who was with that constable was also shot and wounded and taken to New Orleans East Hospital. There is now an escort leaving New Orleans East Hospital with an ambulance and police units to take that second victim to University Medical Center as well to get a higher level of care for the gunshot wound or wounds that that individual also suffered. We're not clear what happened or where exactly that it happened. We know they have established a crime scene on the interstate, on the I-10 West between Reed and Crowder, and we know that a constable has been shot and a second individual as well. The constable is now at University Medical Center undergoing surgery while the second victim is being escorted to University Medical Center. We'll continue to gather information, Newell, and bring it to you as it becomes available.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate the update. You know, just to continue this conversation, Quinn's right. It's too soon to give up. Yes, we have a lot of challenges that we are facing at the present time, and obviously in this case, two members of the constable's office, while doing what they're constitutionally charged to do, serve eviction notices, and we find ourselves in a position where we can't even do that safely any longer. Yes, there's a conflict there, and the way that we're going to resolve the conflict is we're going to shoot the constables. This is a call out to all of those in the criminal justice system. We need to wake up. We need to refocus all of our priorities. And we need to do it together. Spent a long time talking to Rafi Goyeneche yesterday about the breakdown in the sheriff's office. And then we find out that Mayor Cantrell goes on Good Morning America. And what does she do? She starts blaming everybody else in the criminal justice system. She never once addressed, for example, the clearance rate by arrest of homicides, didn't talk about that. did talk about the fact that she wasn't focused on staffing for the first 4 years of her administration. No, she went to the DA. Now, I'm not saying that what she said about the district attorney is wrong in some respect. And then she talked about the 2-year hiatus in the courts. Well, it was her policies relative to COVID that caused that to happen. It wasn't so much what she said, but the tone and the manner in which she was throwing, as I point out, she's the master of the word salad. If you listen to the interview, it was kind of embarrassing because half the time I couldn't understand what the hell she was talking about. But when she got to this part, it was clear what she was talking about. She was placing blame on others. Does this leader really believe that we're going to get to a better place by doing what she did on Good Morning America? Go look at it for yourself. Judge for yourself. Do we really believe that we're going to get to a place that we're going to be proud of, that we're going to be able to interact, that we're going to be able to achieve the successes that we need to achieve in order to have a safe and secure community? She has got to go. She doesn't get it. She doesn't read the room. This is all about her. This is all about her saving herself, trying to create a legacy for herself, the afterlife for herself. We cannot afford another 3 years of this individual as our mayor. No way, no how, because she's not going to do what's necessary to bring everyone together. In fact, she's going to be more divisive. Sign the petition. Involve yourself in the NOLA coalition. Take these matters out of her hands and give her little or no control. Because I'm more confident now than ever, especially after this sorry excuse of a performance that she did on Good Morning America, that she has got to go. Got to go. No two ways about it. We will not move forward. We will have 3 more years of division, of blame, shifting. We will have smoke screens, and we will continue to get the word salad that I've been talking about. I mean, I've talked about this word salad issue probably every day for the last 3 weeks, at least. Have no idea what she's talking about. Just on and on and on. Like, what are you saying? Why don't you just stick to the facts? They're pretty overt. They're out there. They're right in front of you. But now we have so many different issues that we have to resolve. And in fact, in this case, what happens? The DA's office has to issue a statement. So the district attorney issues a statement that reads as follows. It's not clear what the mayor means when she refers to the DA's office relaxing, but days at the DA's office have been far from relaxed. Her statement on Good Morning America reflects a lack of clear understanding of the criminal legal system. That's an understatement. Public safety is a group lift, exactly, and requires a government-wide investment of time and resources. Look, I don't agree with the DA on a lot of stuff, but he is dead on, spot on right there. He says that shortly after they took office in 2021, they crafted a CEA with the city that would have funded a multi-agency law enforcement effort aimed at tackling gang violence, but it sat on the mayor's desk, unsigned, without explanation. Since the beginning of the current crime surge late last year, we have been ringing the alarm for increased funding to our office and to NOPD that would allow us to surge back, but only now in the fall of 2022 has a funding plan taken shape after this recall petition. Now, you know I've taken the DA to task on a number of issues, on a number of policies that he came in with, and I think when he began to see the horror, the absolute horror of victims in this city, he changed. Now, not necessarily where I think he needs to be totally, but at least it's moving in a positive direction. We need a mayor that's going to lead everybody, bring everybody in the room, work through these challenges, and compel certain things to happen. I can tell you one thing, if I was the mayor, that sheriff should have been in my office, and we'd have been talking about what's going on, because we are paying the price. How much more do we want to pay? We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, just as we suspected, we talked about it the other day, OPEC Plus met today, this morning, in Vienna. And what did they do? The Russians actually were asking for a 1 million barrel a day cut in production, reduction in production. So what did OPEC Plus do? Well, OPEC Plus is the original, the 15 OPEC members and the Russian-led ally consortium. They decided to cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day. The White House is freaking out. They're panicking. In fact, leading up to today's meeting, they worked hard in lobbying both Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE, United Arab Emirates, and other OPEC members to vote against this, as you would expect. But we just don't have a real warm and fuzzy relationship with the Middle East right now, because this administration's foreign policy has been all over the map. Nobody can actually figure it out. But what really surprised me was the administration's reaction to what happened this morning with OPEC Plus. White House spokesman John Kirby said that the United States, hold your seats, needed to be less dependent on OPEC Plus and other foreign producers of oil. Really? Does that sound familiar to you? Has someone else talked about that? And did someone else become the beneficiary of all kinds of criticism and alike for being more parochial in our view as it related to energy? Well, the reason they're freaking out is because the midterms are coming up and they're afraid that gas prices are going to go up, which they are. Of course, the president was, you know, taking in all of the accolades when gas prices were going down. And I'm sure now they're going to say that this is a world market and, you know, what the president doesn't do or what he does or doesn't do doesn't really affect gas prices here domestically, because we've heard that before. And they just really believe that we're stupid and that we're going to buy into this smokescreen dialogue that they're throwing out there, that they're going to forget about him taking victory laps over gas prices going down. And now that they're going up, it's not what he's been signaling to the fossil fuel industry. In fact, he went so far as the other day, without any evidence that any of this has been done, and multitudes of investigations into retail outlets, you know, the Discount Zones, Brothers, all of these others that are out there, to insinuate that they are going to take advantage of this storm, Ian, and other challenges, and hike up the prices. Again, smokescreen diplomacy, deflection, kind of like what LaToya is doing, right? Is this the strategy of the modern day politician? Do they think we're really that stupid? We've been talking about this issue on this show for a long time, as to the downstream implications of trying to do this transition in a shorter period of time from fossil fuels to green energy. And here we find ourselves at a very tenuous situation in light of everything that's going on internationally today. He continues to raid the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, contrary to why it was set up, only to benefit himself politically to try and keep prices down on gasoline, making us even more vulnerable in the position that we find ourselves in dealing with the challenges in Ukraine. So it's going to be interesting again to see, pay close attention to what they are going to say about this situation. And I promise you, they're not going to own it. Putin's going to own it before it's all said and done. We'll be right back. All right, folks, number of texts coming in asking what's going on I-10 West. We've had two constables while serving eviction papers shot, and they're on their way to University Medical Center. A number of folks are texting in saying that they're seeing NOPD vehicles escorting an ambulance. Please show some consideration. Pull on the side. Every second counts. I'm sure it continues on at this point in time. It's going to be snarly around there for a long time. Looks like that part of the crime scene may be on the interstate. We're not actually certain just yet. Dave Cohen, that is, from our WWL news director, has given us a couple of updates. There'll be more to come your way. But understand that area is going to be snarly for the next couple of hours, so you may want to try and find an alternative way to go. That's between Crowder and Reed on I-10 West. That means coming in to the city. All right, when we come back, we will visit with Michael Heck, president and CEO of G&O Inc., as well as C. Scott Kennedy, owner of Tambla Strategy. They did a white paper they just released, addressing Risk Rating 2.0. That's your flood insurance and what's going on there. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.